So here's a fascinating story of what happens when academic freedom and confidentiality here in the United States collide with the global war on terrorism. A U.S. appeals court has to decide whether Boston College must turn over to criminal investigators recordings from an oral history project about Northern Ireland. These recordings could expose embarrassing secrets of the Provisional Irish Republican Army. Now, though Northern Ireland is broadly enjoying the peace dividend brought about by the Good Friday Agreement in the late 90s, political and sectarian divisions remain very real, which is why, when former members of the IRA and loyalist paramilitary groups told their stories for an academic archive to be stored at Boston College, known as the Belfast Project, they were assured that their testimonies would remain secret until they died. But British authorities have long been trying to obtain record of these testimonies to help solve unsolved murders during the period of violence in Northern Ireland between the British and the IRA. But yesterday, the U.S. Department of Justice decided to allow, at least for now, Boston College to keep its material confidential. A full hearing is now scheduled in a few weeks. Joining us now is Kevin Cullen, columnist for the Boston Globe, who's been following this story. Kevin, good morning.
Morning, John.
This is really interesting how there's really a collision here between the British government's interest in what it calls essentially the war on terrorism and what Boston College calls, no, this is confidentiality and academic freedom. How important is this archive?
Well, I mean, nobody's been able to answer from an evidentiary point of view how important it is. That's one of the reasons this is so controversial. We presume the original demand for the records remains sealed, so we're just presuming it's the Police Service of Northern Ireland, and more specifically, the Historical Enquiries Team that is looking into the unsolved murder of a woman named Jean McConville, a mother of 10 from Belfast, who was abducted, disappeared, murdered, and buried secretly. She was abducted in 1972 and murdered shortly after by the IRA. Her remains were not found until 2003 on a beach somewhere in the Republic of Ireland, south of the border. Now, that is the murder that really, that's the only murder that's been identified by the authorities. That's what they're looking for. Now, that's significant because there are two people that publicly alleged that blame this, the abduction and murder and burial of Jean McConville on Gerry Adams, who is the president of Sinn Féin, the political party. But at the time, he denies he was ever a member of the IRA. There are other people who believe he was a senior member of the IRA in the Belfast Brigade. But the issue is very sensitive because what it's come down to is, you have 26 former IRA men have given interviews for this project. And in that entire archive, the only crime that is being investigated that the police want any information on just happens to implicate the leader of the largest nationalist party in Northern Ireland. That's hugely significant, and it creates all sorts of problems.
And, it is the question of principle as much as it is a question of specific evidence in a specific case. Let's give you a feel, or our listeners a feel, for this archive. Here is some testimony from Brendan Hughes, who is dead. He died in 2008. He talked to the Boston Project. It gives you a sense of the kind of confessional quality in this archive.
I think a lot of the stuff that I'm saying here, I'm saying it in trust because I have a trust in you. I mean, I have never, ever, ever admitted being a member of the IRA. Never. I've just done it here.
And that's from a TV documentary that talked about some of the material in this archive. Here's another piece from the archive. Anthony McIntyre is a lead researcher for the project. He gave his word to those he interviewed that their testimony would not be handed on to anyone else while they were alive, and he now worries that could change.
Because the police are after these archives and they want to use them for the purposes of prosecution, then I feel that there's a substantial risk. And I fear a device coming through the window. I fear for my wife. I fear for my children.
That's lead researcher for the Boston Project. And now listen to a local politician, Ian Paisley Jr., who, of course, is a unionist, the son of the famous unionist Ian Paisley, talking about the responsibility of British authorities to get to the bottom of things.
In a nutshell, what I think has to happen is that this material, I believe, should be transferred to our authorities. The police should be able to examine it because I believe in the rule of law.
Kevin Cullen from the Boston Globe, what do the folks at Boston College make of this dispute and the Justice Department stepping in?
Well, Boston College initially said that it would fight tooth and nail before it handed anything over. That's changed. That position has changed over the months because they quickly realized they really had no on the Brendan Hughes stuff. He had died in 2008, so that released his any confidentiality. So those records were turned over almost immediately. Now, they've resisted since then, and Judge Young, sitting here in the district court in Boston, ordered them to turn over the records of Dolores Price, who is very much alive, and but who has also given interviews indicating that she spoke to the project and gave a general idea of what she spoke about. Boston College felt at that point that they really didn't have much of a leg to stand on in her case. But they are saying they do not want any of the other records turned over to authorities. That said, they have turned them over to Judge Young to review these in camera and make a determination whether any of these records relate to the Jean McConville case. Now, there's a real dispute between Boston College and its researchers, Ed Maloney, who was the director of the project, and Anthony McIntyre, who you mentioned, and also Wilson MacArthur, who did the Loyalist interviews. They feel very let down by BC. They say that they were assured that this stuff would never be turned over and that the confidentiality would hold. So there's a they're taking a much more aggressive approach on this. They're the ones that filed the appeal before the Court of Appeals and got the temporary stay, and that's really what's going on right now. The records have actually been turned over to the U.S. Attorney's Office here in Boston. They are in the possession of the federal government. The issue is the stay came up, and that stay prevented the federal government here from turning those records, the tapes of Dolores Price, her interviews, turning them over to the British authorities.
Kevin Cullen, a columnist for the Boston Globe's Metro section, talking about a case between Boston College pitted against British authorities over an oral history project called the Belfast Project, which had confessional testimony from members of the Irish Republican Army. Kevin, thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.